Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, come to us. Call us by name. Lead us out. Let us know your voice. We pray this for your sake and for your glory. Amen. Please be seated, and as you're getting settled, if you would turn with me to John chapter 10, it's in your bulletins, or if you'd like to use the Bible under the seat in front of you, it's page 896. John chapter 10. Now, I will say I don't personally know any shepherds, any full-time, that's my job shepherds. I do know some in this congregation who have goats and rabbits and chickens, and our neighbors in our neighborhood have pigs. I lived with a family in Pennsylvania that had peacocks and donkeys and goats and chickens in a sort of non-working farm kind of situation. I think they had some other animals I'm forgetting. But full-time, live out in the fields, protect your sheep at all costs for your livelihood, I don't actually know any of them. But in the time when Jesus said this, people knew shepherds. Shepherds were tough, strong, calloused, outdoorsy, sweaty, courageous men who cared for their sheep. They were known for fighting off wild animals like lions and bears and wolves and snakes without the nicety of modern hunting rifles. They were also known for caring for sheep who were herding or nursing. They were ovine midwives. And they had to deal from time to time with sheep who did rather dumb things like this. Yeah, aw, that's right. Jesus says to people who know all about shepherds, he says, "I am the good shepherd to you, my people, my sheep." Jesus says, "I'm like that to you." And so today, on this day in our church calendar, we remember that Jesus is described as the good shepherd. And so to do that, we're going to look at John chapter 10, Jesus' teaching here, where he uses this illustration of sheep and shepherds to talk about himself and us. So as we look at Jesus, what Jesus says, the first thing that we see here about Jesus the Good Shepherd, we see that the Good Shepherd comes to his sheep. He comes to his sheep. So if you look at verse 2, it says, "He who enters by the door," that's another part of the teaching, but "he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The sheep don't go find the shepherd. The shepherd comes through the door, comes to his sheep. And I don't want to breeze past this absolutely enormous truth that God, in the person of Jesus, God incarnate, the good shepherd, comes to us. And the image is of sheep in a sheep pen, and the shepherd comes to the sheep to collect and lead his flock out. The sheep are not left to go out and find the shepherd on their own. There's no philosophical angst over sheep crawling around in the dark trying to find God. God, the good shepherd, comes to us and collects us. The good shepherd comes to the sheep. And it says in verse 10, Jesus says, I came to my sheep, I came so that my sheep, my people, may have life and have it abundantly. God comes to us not to reprimand, not to condemn, but to give abundant life to his beloved people. He says that others have come to steal, kill, and destroy. But following Jesus is the way to abundant life. Others will ultimately rob and kill and destroy. Others will not lead truly to abundant life in Jesus. But Jesus gives abundant life. Now, I remember hearing in the church where I grew up, after hearing a sermon on following Jesus with everything that we have and living his way, even including giving of our finances and following the Lord, after hearing that, about living Jesus' way, the way that he calls us to. A man after the service, no, it was not me, man after the service went up to the preacher on their way out, and in a moment of great honesty and insight said, "It seems that Jesus and I have a very different understanding of the good life. Jesus and I have a very different understanding of the good life or the abundant life." And I think that's absolutely true. Our culture has so many voices telling us what the good and abundant life is and what the best way is. But our Lord says to us in love and care for us that all those other voices will rob and kill and destroy. "But I have come," he says, "that you may have truly abundant life on this side of death and glory and on the other." God himself has come to us that we may have life abundantly in him. Not abundance necessarily in the way that the world values it. There is no promise of that. But God has come to us that we may have true joy and happiness and abundance with Jesus. The Good Shepherd comes to us. Second piece that we see in what Jesus says, he says that the Good Shepherd calls his sheep. He comes to his sheep and he calls his sheep. So verse 2 says, "He who enters by the door is the shepherd." Verse 3, "The sheep hear the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he then leads them out." The shepherd calls his sheep. The shepherd calls his sheep. Ultimately, salvation is God's work, not ours. He calls us, not primarily or initially the other way around. He calls us. Salvation is always the work and initiative of God. The shepherd calls the sheep. There's a famous question that's used with certain Christian groups in evangelism, and this can be very helpful. But the question is, if you were to die tonight, why would God let you into heaven? I think it's a little misguided, but that's a helpful, thought-provoking question. There is no entrance exam, theological entrance exam. I think this question has tended to be more effective for previous generations than it is for the younger one now, but it can be thought-provoking. But as the question goes, if you died tonight and were asked, why should God let you be with him forever, what would you say? And the point of that question is that any answer that begins with the first person, because I believed, because I did this, because I did that, any question that begins with me misses the gospel entirely. Because the gospel says, because he died for me, because he saved me, because he called me. The shepherd calls the sheep. And it says in verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name. I've heard it said that a child's favorite sound in the whole world is the sound of his or her own name. There's intimacy in being called by name, to be known like that. And as anyone who has a sibling of the same gender knows, that it can be really frustrating to continually throughout your life being called Nathaniel. That's not my name. Stop calling. I mean, that's just hypothetical, of course, of some generic name for an older brother. But there is something special about being called by name. There's an intimacy and a tenderness to being called by your name correctly. And there's also an authority to calling someone by name. So I'm the weird one that goes by my full name, Michael, all the time. But many go by Mike or Steve or Chris. Except when you're in trouble and your mother uses your full name. Michael, Stephen, Christina. When someone in authority calls you by name, in that sense, it also kind of makes you know your place. There's a tenderness in calling someone by name, but there's also an authority to doing that. And Jesus calls his sheep by name. He calls us. He knows us intimately, and he's the one in charge. The Good Shepherd comes to us and calls us by name. He comes to his sheep. He calls his sheep, and then he says that the good shepherd leads his sheep. Verse 3. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The shepherd doesn't stand back and bark orders. Jesus, the good shepherd, leads the sheep. He leads us. A friend of mine was in Israel, and he was on a tour of the Holy Land and was riding along in a big tour bus. And at one point, my friend or someone else saw out the window a herd of sheep walking in front of their shepherd. They were all walking together. And the Christians in the bus, they were all committed Christians. They were there to learn about the Holy Land and all of this. They were steeped in the Bible, and they immediately made this connection with sheep and shepherds and us and Jesus, and this was all taking place in Israel, and they were thinking of things like John 10 that we're reading about this morning, and they were just mesmerized by seeing shepherd and sheep in the wilderness, beside the road in Israel. And they asked the bus driver if they could just stop so they could watch and soak it in. And the tour guide just laughed at these foreigners who obviously knew nothing about sheep and shepherds in Israel. And he laughed and said, "That's not the shepherd." Someone on the bus said, "How in the world do you know that?" And the tour guide said, "Here, the way we do it is the shepherd leads and the sheep follow. That man is behind the sheep, directing them where to go. That's not the shepherd, that's the butcher." But the fact is that the good shepherd, what Jesus says, the good shepherd leads. He goes before us. He shows us the way for us to follow. He leads us where he has gone before, into, as he says, into abundant life. He leads us to the knowledge of God. He leads us and shows us the way we should go, even when that way involves a cross that we must pick up and follow. God freely gives us of his grace and his mercy and his love. And Jesus leads us into that abundant life of knowing and following God. The good shepherd leads his sheep. Jesus comes to us. He calls us, he leads us out, and then he tells us what the sheep are to do. Verse 3, the sheep hear his voice. And verse 4, the sheep follow him. Hear and follow. Listen and obey. When you hear his voice and put your faith in Jesus, then follow in the way of Jesus. Those who hear follow his voice. Listen and follow. And we need to learn to hear and recognize his voice so that we can then follow. And primarily, we do that through scripture and worship. Through hours and days and weeks and years of reading the Word of God, reading the Bible, reading what he has told us, and gathering together to worship and pray together, we learn more and more of how to recognize his voice. And as we come to recognize his voice, we can then obey and follow his voice. As we come to know him, truly know him through his word, through the Bible, we can recognize his voice when he speaks. Now, unfortunately, I have heard numerous people over the years say to me something like, "Jesus said to me," or, "I know God would want me to," and then they finish that sentence by adding something completely contrary to what Jesus has already told us in the Bible. For example, I remember once a conflict taking place, it happens, but a conflict taking place in which one person said that he prayed to Jesus and Jesus told him to do something, and then I tried to help him see that what he's saying Jesus told him to do is literally the exact opposite of what Jesus has already told all of us to do in conflict. We need to learn to hear and recognize God's voice, and years of reading and hearing the Bible in private and in worship together teaches us his voice and his words. And then we can follow and obey. And doing all of this also enables us to get to know him. To know him, to know the good shepherd himself, not just about him, but to know him, to know and love our Lord. And we know what it's like to recognize the voice of someone we love dearly. I mean, there are people that I respect greatly, and if they called me, they wouldn't, but if they did, I wouldn't recognize their voice. But we do recognize the voice of ones we love. And you know, of course, animals can do that too. Sheep can do that. But I'm going to give you an example from an animal I think is cooler than sheep. So I read a book a couple years ago about a man in South Africa who has devoted his life to working with one of the things that I just think would be the coolest job in the entire world, other than this, of course, is he's devoted his life to working hands-on with large African predators, lions, hyenas, wild dogs, leopards. He has been bitten and scratched and such, but he still has all of his digits and everything. But he tells the story of two lionesses that he cares for. And he actually saved them from drowning when they were just a couple days old, and they've been a part of this place where he takes care of all these animals, and they've formed a special bond with him over the years. And even now that they are full-grown lionesses, I mean, you know what they look like. They could easily overpower him. These full-grown lioness sisters, they still, when he comes into their enclosure, they will run up to him and climb on him and snuggle with him and nap with him in the African sun. Full-grown lions, and they just absolutely adore him. Well, this man is not actually the owner of this area, of the place where he just takes care of the animals. And he came into work one day and discovered that the owner had sold these two lionesses to another place for breeding purposes. And he was mortified. And so he quickly loaded up two other lionesses that he didn't particularly care about, drove to the place to see if he could trade. And he got there, and the person said, honestly, it's too late. They've already been released out into this wide area with the other lions. And he said, if I can get them to come over, can we trade? And the guy's like, I don't know, whatever, sure. I just care about two lionesses, I don't care. So he literally goes to the fence and just calls out their name. Megan, Amy. And out there somewhere where he could not see them, heads pop up. And they turn and run over to the fence, and they do their whole routine, putting their paws on him and climbing on him and snuggling him and all of that, because they knew this man, Kevin, from years of being together, and they literally could recognize his voice and came running when he called. Sheep actually can do that too. See, years of hearing our Lord's voice enables us to recognize him when he speaks, and also to love him and come running when he calls. Running to the one that we know and love, and more importantly, who knows and loves us. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says that sheep know his voice. Hearing and recognizing and following the voice of our Lord. So would you commit to reading, hearing, studying God's word, the Bible? Hear our Lord's voice in the scriptures that he's given to us, and come together to worship and adore and to commit ourselves again and again to follow and obey his voice. Jesus, our good shepherd, comes to us. He does not wait for us to come to him, thanks be to God. He comes to us. Our good shepherd calls us by name. Our good shepherd lovingly leads us. And we, the flock of sheep, can and must learn to recognize his voice. The voice of truth and love calling out to us in the midst of 1,000 other voices. We must learn to know and to recognize and follow and obey his voice. And we do that through daily, weekly, immersing ourselves in his word. Gathering together to worship and praise and adore our Lord. Jesus says, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And he says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd." Let's pray. O God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the good shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.